Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Whether you want to
buy, buy, buy.
In a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market, Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
Let's get right to it. Cut number 10, talking about the challenging nature of these CBA negotiations, which is why Jerry missed his show yesterday. He was in Chicago. But think about this little nugget here in regards to this Cowboy team and them divvying up the pie.
10% of the players in the NFL get two-thirds of the money. And yet it's a game that you can't play it unless you have not only what's opening the holes and protecting and catching the balls, but over on defense, you got to stop them and you got to get the ball back so the offense can score. And so that's a dynamic that is challenging, but our system is working through it. But again, I emphasize 10% of the players in the NFL get two-thirds of the money.
10% of the players get two-thirds of the money.
I'd like to dig into that mathematically and go look at that. I mean, that would mean that 90% of your team has to fit into 33% of your salary cap.
Pretty much, unless you're a team that doesn't have a high-priced player. But he's basically saying if you go to the top, take the top 10%, they're making two-thirds of the money. And so as we sit here and talk about the Cowboys going into tomorrow night's game, knowing they're going to have to cut good young players, that makes you feel good. Because it doesn't matter. Like, you have to draft well frequently if you want to stay near the top. Or simply be the team that never pays anybody. Because all these teams, they end up paying most of their money to their top players, and then you just simply have to figure out the rest by constantly churning it out, constantly mm-hmm. drafting, constantly hitting the waiver wire and making the most of all of the rest of your roster.
You got to figure out who are the guys you're going to let walk, and I guess a big part of that is predetermined by where you draft the best and have the most depth.
Mm-hmm.
And I just wonder when the rubber's going to meet the road on that for the Cowboys. Who's the guy, you know, if they do end up paying Dak a ton of money and Zeke a ton of money and Amari, and they've already paid D-Law. The offensive line makes a lot of money. They get the Jalen contract. I'm sure they're going to want to keep Van Der Esch. And, you know, I wonder who are the guys that they're going to want to keep that they wish they could keep and they just can't afford. I mean, it certainly feels like Byron Jones is going to be the first one.
He's the one that really jumps out at you. And there's two reasons for that. Number one, you know, right now he's not here, so it's kind of hard to think about him because he hadn't been out there on the field. Now he's back up off the pup, so maybe that makes you think about things differently. But they have a lot of young cornerbacks that seem to be playing really well. And so if you are going to let a guy walk that's one of your really, really great players, do you have a guy that can slide into that role? This is why quarterbacks, you know, the main number of this 10% is quarterbacks.
Yeah.
And the reason is because you can't let the quarterback go if he's worth a damn. In fact, you're so desperate for that kind of play, you end up way overpaying those guys in the first place.
As of right now, before the pot's all been, you know, stirred up a little bit with Dak and Zeke or whoever, the Cowboys' positional spending, would you guys like to hear this?
Yes.
Yeah.
On offense, they spend the seventh most in the NFL. On defense, they spend...
Wait, I'm sorry. That's right now, before they pay Dak 35, Amari 20, and Zeke 15, they're already spending the seventh most?
Yes.
Mainly because of your offensive line.
22nd on defense. At quarterback, they spend the 32nd most in the league right now.
Mm.
On offensive line, they spend the first most in the league at total $60.6 million. At running back, with Zeke already, they spend the ninth most in the league at running back. At wide receiver, they spend the sixth most in the league. What you're looking at there is going to be Cobb at $5 million and then the $13 million fifth-year option to Amari Cooper. There's $18 million of it right there.
It won't go up that significantly.
tight end. And also they have Tavon Austin on there as well. And then Gallup's rookie deal.
Yeah, but Tavon doesn't make anything.
No, he didn't make anything. Tight end, 22nd most. On defense, I said they were the 22nd most. Had defensive line, they spend the 7th most in the NFL.
Makes sense. If you look at what they have there.
Last year, it would have been 10th. So Tank took them up to the 7th. Linebacker, they spend the 21st most in the NFL.
Okay. For now.
For now. And you know what? That's changed since this came out. Okay. I'm getting this from the Warren Sharp football guy.
Okay. Yep.
You can go to sharpfootball.com to get that guide. Cornerbacks, 24th most right now. I think it'll still kind of be in that area. The thing that's very interesting about Byron walking, if that were to happen, well, you got other guys who are coming up too, Anthony Brown and Cheeto and Jordan Lewis. So that's all fascinating.
Question. Is there anything Byron Jones can do during this season to get a huge deal?
5 interceptions.
Yeah.
They're not going to pay, with all the guys they have to pay, they're not going to pay all that money to a guy that doesn't get any interceptions.
So there's a story coming out now that, like, it's already, maybe this is just football hype, and it's talking about Jaguars Chiefs week one, where Jalen Ramsey is going to travel with Tyreek Hill. And I'm sure Jalen Ramsey's already, talking about it, but that's funny, right? Oh, they're already talking about that. That's going to happen.
Right.
Is Byron going to go one-on-one against Tyreek Hill in that matchup? Maybe some of the game, but not very often. So I think that's kind of where that comes into play as well. And then at safety, they're the 29th most in the NFL.
Wow.
And they're not allowed to negotiate a deal with Xavier Woods yet. They got to wait another year.
When is the last time you guys thought about Earl Thomas?
Never.
I have not since we got to camp.
Me neither. And I hadn't thought about it until the other day. I was thinking about paying players. And I was like, God, they almost paid like $8 to $9 million to Earl Thomas. And if the Ravens hadn't have swooped in and given him all that money, don't you think the Cowboys might have ended up paying him $8 million?
Maybe.
And don't you think they would have regretted that?
I think they would have regretted it if they got to camp, saw how good Xavier Woods was. But it sounds like they knew he was
right.
They were with Kavanaugh and KT and all that, on knowing how good he was. I want to go back to Byron, though, because it was I was told that it was the New Orleans game that he got hurt. Okay, so he played through it. But he played through New Orleans, Philly, Indy, Tampa, and the Giants game in the playoffs. He played hurt. So if you look prior to that point, he was arguably the best corner in the game. But he just wasn't getting interceptions.
And they weren't even throwing at him.
They weren't really throwing at him very much.
Can't get interceptions if the ball ain't near you.
And so you got to keep in mind that when he tailed off, and Cheeto probably played better than him down the stretch, well, he was hurt.
Yeah.
He was hurt pretty bad. In fact, he just now got activated this week, and that injury happened at the end of November. And so if he comes back and is fully back where he was at the beginning of the season and is a true shutdown guy, that might be tough to say goodbye to him.
He's winning their Happy Hill Farm Defensive Player of the Year Award, and he's getting that today. The thing I would say is you got to pay one of them. If it's going to be Byron or Xavier Woods, who are you going to pay? It's going to be Xavier Woods because of the depth you've accrued at the cornerback position. I mean, what you've got right now. It's less.
It's a lot less.
But B, I think even more than this just general money of it, is just
okay.
I got stuff behind. I don't have stuff behind at safety.
Sure, that makes sense.
I got corners coming up the rear here.
But in the past, they've shown that safety's not a position they want to spend on.
Yeah.
And so, Donovan Wilson looks really good. So do they start looking at this going, okay, Xavier's going to be – I it's interesting.
Changed.
It creates a dynamic where Byron Jones and Xavier Woods are competing with each other a little bit to be that guy.
Yeah.
And maybe not directly, but, if one of those guys goes ham, he may end up getting the money and the other guy may not.
I also think that both of those guys are candidates to be a Jalen Smith scenario from this standpoint, taking less. Reason being – with Byron, he knows the benefit of being here. With Xavier Woods, he hadn't been paid any money yet.
And he also hasn't proven that he deserves to be paid that money
right.
yet. He's been good, but he hasn't been awesome like Byron has.
But I'm talking about at the end of this year.
Yeah.
Like, you'll have another year left on him.
Oh, yeah, you got time.
And then you can franchise him, but you may also be able to get him at a better value because you're stepping up and paying him now, a guy who's been making, $300,000 or $400,000 or whatever that number is. You're giving him, hey, you're going to be a part of this great thing. You're going to get some money now that you've never had before. I bet he would take it. Those guys that are late draft picks that haven't had the money yet, There ain't no Xavier Woods endorsements out there. Those guys tend to go, yes, I need that money.
Right. That's true.
He can help them. And Byron still can be in the mix to be franchised. And he could be in the mix to take a team-friendly deal. Like, that's all still on the table.
Sure.
But it's just, it's much easier to move on from Byron, in my opinion, just because you believe in Cheeto for another year. They're going to draft a corner at some point. You know, they're gonna keep, filling up the cupboard. The thing I would say, though, where does the Chris Richard stance on all this come into play? Because they turned into a cover three team. Like, that's what they play now, which is what Seattle was playing all those years. And that is not what you think of when you think of the Rod Marinelli defense. They turned into a cover three team, and that's where things have changed.
That's where things have changed. All right, we don't have much time here. Do you guys want to hear Jerry talk about preseason changes or chicken sandwiches?
Chicken sandwiches.
All right, Chippy, go to the final cut there. Here's Jerry weighing in on the magic of the Popeyes chicken sandwich.
No, I have not. Now, I've eaten a lot of Popeyes chicken. I like that chicken, and but I haven't had that new sandwich, and I'm just wondering if over the years if I've gotten close to it with some of their regular recipes. But it really is amazing to me the interest and what social media is doing and what it's doing relative to new service or new products and. How you can communicate today, and this would be a Harvard Business study on how to really do a good job of creating interest in a new product.
I like that chicken.
How did this happen?
Well, this is amazing. Here's what the theory is, which I buy into totally. Guys, we're going to roll this chicken sandwich out we're going to purposely make it scarce so that there's a freak out factor. And at the same time we do it, we're going to go full David and Goliath, and we're going to put our rock in our slingshot and just start throwing rocks at Chick-fil-A, which is generally recognized as the top chicken sandwich. So we're going to create something that everybody wants but nobody can find. So there's all this social media buzz of people fighting at counters and freaking out and talking about it because they can't get their hands on it. It's amazing buzz.
That's interesting. I don't know if I buy into that. I think, first of all, if you have to create the desire, you know, the interest in those, and that created somehow before you ran out of them, you have to at least get people going there wanting them. Maybe it was the beef and setting their sights on Chick-fil-A. That part of it I get. It's almost like the rappers with the fake beef because they know if we have beef, it's going to give more publicity and, you know, that sells. Chick-fil-A is like, wait, why are you including us in this? So maybe it was setting their sights, but I mean, I don't understand how like I haven't had it either, so I'm not speaking from experience, but it appears to just be a fast food sandwich.
Yeah, but you know what? I agree with you, Ben, but that's just the same thing with Chick-fil-A. People talk about Chick-fil-A like it's a cult and it's reinvented food. It's fast food.
Yeah.
You're in line for a fast food product.
But if their plan was to run out, I think that's a bad plan. Like, the scarcity of it, I get, but now it's turned to the point where they've embarrassed themselves because they can't handle the demand. I mean, they had to put up handwritten signs at every drive-thru in the country said, hey, we don't have chicken sandwiches.
Number one rule to being a meme, though, is enjoy the lifespan as long as you can. So if people are in their drive-thru and they're tweeting stuff out, even if it is a bad experience, it's still keeping Popeyes in mind. Mm-hmm. Meanwhile, people think of Chick-fil-A all the time, and they're always going to like that because they're more mainstream, and they're now in the Atlanta football stadium, and they're off on Sundays. Like, they got all these bits. You know,
I think
it's interesting.
In a very, very crowded fast food market over the span of my life, Popeyes has taken up very little of my attention towards fast food.
Let me get a little chicken sandwich.
Little. And it's not because I like it or dislike it or whatever. There weren't that many Popeyes down here. And then the times I went to Popeyes, it took forever to get the food. So I just went elsewhere because the main component of fast food for me is fast.
That's like a Brahms for me or a Dairy Queen. Mm-hmm. I can tell it's good. It just takes so long.
Yeah. And so, whatever has happened transpired over the last month. I have thought more about Popeye's chicken in the last month than I have in the previous 40-some-odd years of my life.
They get good and crunchy chicken. That's what's good, man. It's very crispy.
They had that now, good gravy on the mashed potatoes.
I ain't going to Popeye's to get a chicken sandwich, though. I'm going to Popeye's and I'm going to get me a type of box combo of some sort. I'm going to get a couple sides because they got some dope sides out there as well.
I was always a Church's guy. Came up in a Church's family.
Never had it.
Not Kentucky Fried Chicken as much. And I was also a Grandy's guy.
Oh, I love Grandy's.
Grandy's. Wow, fan. They get a big biscuit in there.
Dude, Grandy's, you know, really expanded. But it used to be when Grandy's first got here, The only Grandy's I knew of was downtown McKinney, and that's back when McKinney was the Sticks. And I thought it was like a restaurant.
Oh, you can't find a Grandy's now.
Now it's like Bubba's, right?
Bubba's. Oh, my God, Bubba's. Bubba's and Babes.
Never heard of Bubba's.
Bubba's is Babes.
Yeah, Bubba's is like the fast drive-thru food version.
Yes.
No, Bubba's has they do? Okay.
The one at the Park Cities has
That's the only one there.
Babes is not a drive-thru, is it?
No,
it's dine-in, family style.
Yeah.
Like Celebration Station style.
But it's the same people. And Babe, there's another Bubba's coming. So they're like, yeah, might as well rework this brand, too. But, yeah, man.
And then Canes and Lanes.
Yeah.
I've never had Lanes. I've heard of Canes. Lanes, I've never had Canes.
The Canes-Lane story is super legit. They both started in College Station. Well, I guess at first there was one of, I think Lanes, I don't know which one was first. I think Lanes was first. And then the owners had a disagreement, and so they branched off and started at Canes, I think, and right across the street. So then at A&M at College Station, you had Canes and you had Lanes, and they battled it out for supremacy, and they were very similar. And then Canes said, we want to be all across the United States, and Lanes was like, we're keeping it real in College Station. Lanes only just now recently moved to the Metroplex. I think they've got like 5 or 10 locations now, and it's stupid good.
I'm pretty sure that's the Puma Adidas stories. Those are brothers that own those two.
Okay.
They started those two sneakers, and one split off from the other. They had some disagreements, and Adidas did a little bit better than Puma.
No, it's nothing compared to Pluckers. None of it is.
Oh, God. And we'll be at Pluckers tomorrow in Dallas.
Oh, let's go Pluckers.
Pluckers is the best food on the planet. So right now, we're here in the Miller Lite Club.
Huh?
And the Jerry Jones address is going on behind us. So since we're in this room, separate from that, and we're broadcasting, we don't know exactly what's being said, but we can keep touch via the people that are in the room that are on their Twitters. And now with more... Here's John M. Shipman.
Hey, guys. This from Mark Lane, at The Real Mark Lane on Twitter. He's got a picture of Jerry Jones at the podium, and Jerry Jones says, they are missing one today at the luncheon, but they will have him on the field. And then in quotes, it says, and I am not joking.
Oh, that's so fascinating.
Okay, so, clearly... this goes back to what Jerry told us. Hey, there's never been a player that we've wanted that we didn't get done.
Right.
And it also, you could take different meanings from that. You could take it to mean him saying, hey, I am the greatest deal maker of all time. I will get this deal done. Does it mean that, hey, he is going to go ahead and bridge the gap and acquiesce and cave in, so to speak, and meet their demands? Does it mean that he's just confident that they will cave in and meet his demands? I mean, what do you take from that?
Here's what I take from it. I think the Jerry Jones came on the airwaves at 8:30. By 1 hour later, the second headline at ESPN was taken from his interview with 105.3 The Fan, Jones on impasse, fresh Zeke for playoffs is okay. So that's the headline, right? The headline is, hey, cool. As long as we have Zeke back and fresh and ready for the playoffs, he can go ahead and give up $2 million this year. We'll go over here and do this. That's one. I'm not saying that's what he's saying, but I'm saying that's one way that the other side could go, wait a minute, what is this? So to me, he's aware of what's on ESPN. He's aware of what he said on our station. Now he's going to go back and double down and go, we're going to have him on the field. I mean, do you still have that pulled up there, the quote right in front of you, Shippy?
Yeah.
So read it one more time.
Yeah, so it says, Jerry Jones says they are missing one today, but they will have him on the field, and then in quotes, and I am not joking.
I can kind of do how he did it, kind of pacing.
Yep.
We're missing one, but we'll have him on the field.
And we are.
And I'm not joking.
That's a good pause. That really hammers it home there, Kevin.
Yeah, I didn't feel like I was there. I didn't feel like you really bought into it.
But the whole point being is there's a major sports headline out there right now that we'll just take Zeke for the playoffs, you know, because that's the nature of headlines, right? Well, wait a minute. You kind of infer whatever you want to infer from that one little thing. But he's also, like, really hammering home, oh, we're going to have him on the field, the one who is not here with us on our special day where we highlight Byron and we highlight, wasn't Zeke the offensive player this year? Who was? I don't recall who they gave it to. But, hey, we're all here as a team, and we got special things to do, and there's one missing. But we are going to have him on the field, and I'm not joking.
Yeah, I think him saying something like that is him realizing what I was saying earlier, that the moment they do get Zeke, it's going to propel these guys. It's going to be a rocket launcher. It's going to be a rocket launcher. It's going to be positive momentum. It's going to be holy damn. All hands are on deck. Everybody's here. It is go time. Because, man, as I started hearing, Zach Martin, he's healthy, he's ready. Tyron, no, Tyron's good to go. Amari, he's good. Byron, he's good. It's like, damn. Really, it's like domino.
Right.
And the last remaining thing is Zeke. Zeke not being here is the one dark cloud that hangs over this thing. And the minute they get that deal done, it's going to be such positive momentum. And, man, I look at the Zach Martin comment that we were talking about.
Uh-huh.
Where this is what Zach Martin said yesterday. This is from DallasCowboys.com. He said, listen, we're preparing for the season. We're going to play with what we've got. And what we've got is a damn good back in Tony Pollard. Obviously, you want Zeke out here, but we're preparing to get ready for week one.
Mm-hmm.
It's becoming a distraction. It's becoming a problem. And it's threatening to actually hamper their team goals. And so it's becoming really problematic. If you get into the season and you don't have Zeke and you're going to have to play games without your best player, it gets to be a problem. Jerry needs to get this deal done. Now, again, we don't understand exactly what the specs are on the guaranteed money. Is it a fair offer? Is Zeke being unreasonable? Are the Cowboys being unreasonable? We don't really know. But whatever that gap is, I think Jerry just needs to close it, unless it's just totally irrational, because they need Zeke, and with Zeke, they're a contender.
So I want to say one more thing about that, Ben, because I do feel a little bit differently about what Zach's saying. I think what he's saying is what all these players have to do in this situation. We're going to forget about you because you're not here. It's the nature of the thing. When you're not here, we forget about you. And I do wonder, I think Zeke wants to, I mean, I know Fish has used this term with Zeke so many times, FOMO. Like, the ultimate FOMO is your team winning while you're somewhere else.
That's the fear of missing out, for those who don't know.
That's right. Hashtag FOMO, listener. So I do think that has an impact here. If they start off the season 2-0 and they're all celebrating and loving on each other and Zeke ain't a part of it, I think that's going to eat
Zeke will be here Tuesday. He'll be here in the next 6 days.
Is this based on travel arrangements that you can confirm?
I might, you know, if that could fall into my lap. But he'll be here by Tuesday. They're going to get it done.
I think that's kind of, isn't that kind of the tone of what Jerry just said up there on that stage?
It's the tone of everything.
He's a deal maker. He'll get it done.
We saw this. We talked about this back in camp. I wouldn't be surprised if this gets done the first week of September.
But I think Zeke's playing harder ball than they expected. I don't think they expected him to hold out. I think they thought he'd be at camp. I think Jerry was personally hurt and surprised. And I think that they respect where he's coming from at this point. And dude, the margins are so much smaller on Zeke's he's talking about the least amount of money between Amari and Dak and all those guys. It's the least amount.
It's just that guaranteed amount. I mean, I have a high degree of confidence that, what do we say that the yearly number on Gurley is 14.4 or 14.2, somewhere in there? I bet whatever they're offering Zeke for a yearly average is somewhere around 14. It's just going to come down to how come you're not guaranteeing more of this. And the Cowboys are going to sit there and say, well, you know, the Rams guaranteed more on Gurley because he was a young guy, and look what happened. It blew up in their face.
He had an ACL injury in his past.
Right.
They should have thought about that.
And
Zeke doesn't have that, and I think that's important.
Yeah, and so whatever the gap is on that guaranteed money, that's what it's all going to come down to, because that yearly average is really close.
It's $18 million difference between what Le'Veon Bell got and what Gurley got.
Mm-hmm.
$18 million. So the Cowboys are probably trying to be more towards Le'Veon with $25 to $30 million guaranteed, and Zeke's camp probably wants either Gurley or more than Gurley. And guess what? That's what Stephen Jones said on the air. He said, hey, you probably start at Gurley and go from there.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that probably set a bad tone to all this, unfortunately, or an expectation. Whether it's fair or not, that kind of set the parameters for a discussion. If you're talking about over the course of that deal and what it's going to be, a 4 or 5 year deal, take him through 28?
I would assume it's going to start next year and be a five-year deal, including next year.
Okay, so if it goes through 5 years, then you're talking about 18. If it's $18 million, then it's probably not the whole difference between Le'Veon and Gurley. Let's say it's $9 million difference. It could be as simple as a difference between $9 or $10 million over 5 years.
Right.
So really we're talking about $2 million per year.
Yeah.
I mean, that's not a lot.
It's not a lot, but it is the guaranteed. It's all going to be the guaranteed. And so, you know, I'm sure that Zeke wants the majority of that deal guaranteed. But here's the deal. Here's the way this works. 3 years from now, if Zeke is holding up his end of the bargain, he's going to start feeling underpaid and want to hold out again. That's the nature of this animal.
And he'll go play somewhere else.
in 3
well,
years.
Well, you can't do it if you guarantee all the money. If you guarantee all the money, you're the one taking the hit.
Sure.
So, it's
they,
an interesting
I don't think they change anything, though. I think it's – I think he has two choices.
Well,
cave and play at 3.8 or cave and sign the deal. It ain't sitting out.
No.
I think
he's
the Cowboys, I think the Cowboys are going to cave. I think the Cowboys are going to increase their offer. And it may be as little as, okay, we're off $2 million a year. We'll give you another million. And at some point
– of guaranteed, though.
Yeah. At some point, it's going to save face. It's going to be – I don't think he's going to come back after being as dug in as he can with his tail tucked between his legs. So they're going to have to give him something to, quote-unquote, win the deal.
Yep.
Let's go now back to the studio, I believe, where the G-Bag Nation is standing by. Boys, do you have us?
Yes. How you doing?
Hey, we're doing great, man. Golly, and being out here – a little bit of news broke there. I guess it's news, you could say, and I guess I'll ask you your thoughts, guys, when Jerry Jones gets up there at the podium and says, hey, you know, we're missing one, but he says, I guarantee you he'll be out there with us on the field. I'm paraphrasing, but he essentially said, hey, don't worry, everybody. I'm going to get this Zeke deal done. What'd you guys make of that?
Well, you know, I think that's there's two different Jerrys, right? There's, hey, I'm up here to have an awesome time and put a big old smile on things. And we saw that Jerry at the start of Cowboys training camp at that presser saying, you know, has there ever been one that I wanted done that didn't get done? And, you know, since then, it's been much more businessman Jerry. So I don't know. And we're at these luncheons and stuff. He kind of transforms into a different guy than hardcore negotiating Jerry, who was on the air just a few hours earlier. So it's hard to have a perfect beat and a consistent beat on what Jerry's trying to do. But I will tell you, I totally agree with the premise of that statement, that this deal is going to get done. They're close enough. The Cowboys deal is going to be a little bit better early next week than it is right now. And I think Zeke and his agent know that the money's close enough that it you know, it's worth signing, other than, you know, sitting and missing out on all the money.
I certainly don't want you to dump over your bucket here in the mix, because I heard the tease, and I know you guys are going to get into those Jerry cuts from this morning at 2 o'clock. But it is interesting to me that, at least I felt like, and maybe you guys didn't, you know, tell me if you differ, that the tone of him on Sean and RJ was different than the tone of what he just said about Zeke. It seemed to be really almost polar opposite to me. I don't know if you guys felt that same way.
100%. Yeah, I thought it was beautiful. It's negotiator Jerry on the radio, right? That's media Jerry. And then this was people who have a bunch of money at my Cowboys event Jerry telling them that everything's going to be real cool. It's going to be so cool, guys. We're going to win all the games.
Nailed it. Yeah, but I totally think that this deal is going to be done. I just heard KT saying, you know, it's going to be done Tuesday. And we have to keep in mind that, you know, Zeke would be missing out on so much money, and the Cowboys are so close to market-setting money. Just a bump of a few percent pushes it over that threshold, and you know, Zeke can save face saying, I held out and got the most.
Yeah, I think if the Cowboys bump their offer one more time, right here at before the season starts, that'll be the best they can do. I don't think his situation is going to improve when they start out 3-0 by beating up the Giants, the Redskins, and the Dolphins.
No.
And so I don't think he's going to gain more leverage. Now, if he wants to sit out through all that and they lose to the Saints and the Packers and maybe the Eagles in week 7, maybe that bye week at that point, but I don't think Zeke wants to go down this road. I think Jerry needs to help him save face, offer a little bit more, go ahead and bridge that gap. All right, you did a good job. You held out. You got every penny you can. And I think once he signs Zeke and once Zeke comes back, it's going to be a huge momentum boost for the Dallas Cowboys. And it could be a great way to start the season, get all hands on deck. Because we were starting to listen to all the reports. You know, Mickey jumped on us today saying, nope, Mari Cooper, good to go. They're saying Zach Martin, good to go. Tyron Smith, good to go. Byron Jones back at practice. So it's like the only thing that's really hanging out there that's negative is Zeke, and it'd be a great way to start the season just by getting that deal done.
Don't you think it's really possible that he's asking the difference is less money than what he would lose after signing the new deal if he did the week 9 or week 10 return scenario? You know, that would be $800,000 a week, and I can't imagine that times 9 is more significant than the amount of money he's asking for.
Yeah, no, and it really comes down. I mean, I don't know about you guys. I believe that whatever we're talking about yearly average and we're talking about guaranteed money, and those are two separate animals. whenever we've always talked about this stuff on the air, we've talked about yearly average because that's the best way for people to understand it. And that's what agents like to push out there when the deal is signed so they can pump their chest and go, look what I got my client. But it's never that. It's what is the guaranteed amount. And the thing that's interesting about this and, quote unquote, setting the market on the guaranteed amount, Le'Veon Bell, and Stephen was quick to point this out, Le'Veon Bell did the sit out and then went out into a free agent market with no picks tied to him. And then he came away with $27 million, you know, and that percentage being guaranteed. And then you get to Gurley. He signed as a much younger player. There's no number that impacts running backs more when they're free agents or when they're negotiating than the number of their age. That's even more than touches. People with running backs always, always, always look at that age. Gurley negotiated his deal being reasonably younger than Le'Veon Bell doing his deal with the Jets this offseason. And so when they're trying to figure out what that guaranteed number is, it the Le'Veon Bell to Gurley comparison is not apples to apples. There's an age difference. There is, with Gurley, you also have the unique factor of an injury history. So there is a pretty wide gap there and a lot of room to play for Zeke to kind of dig in and say, I need it to be this guaranteed amount because my situation is different than both of those guys.
Also trickling out here from this kickoff luncheon for Happy Hill Farms. So after a speech, I guess there was a little bit of a brief media gangbang situation. And Jerry, according to the Twitter account of Michael Gelkin, Jerry told reporters, if we don't have him early, we're going to use him when he gets in late.
Oh, okay. If we don't have him, okay. So if they don't get a deal done.
Awesome. We'll run bad offense when he gets here.
Yeah. If we don't get it done before the season starts, then you're talking about getting him in at the end of the season. But as we talked about earlier, from Zeke's standpoint, once he misses, you know, the first half of the season, he's better off just sitting out the entire year unless they're going to try to make him whole.
I think so.
I'd love him to really get the season rolling, throw it about 60% of the time, get about 8 yards a play, and then have Zeke show up in week 9 and start being real happy about 4.5 a pop. That'd be great.
David Hellman saying that Jerry reiterates after the luncheon, there's been no movement with Zeke or his camp. He hasn't spoken with Zeke and doesn't have any plans to in the next 24 hours.
I think this is going to be a tank thing. This is going to take that moment where Jerry or Steven talks to Zeke without his agent.
Because
I think they hate him. I think they hate him, and they're like, listen, you know, Jerry even said it. Like, you know, those guys just want a piece of the pie. Yeah, well, I have an agent, too. They have a job to get you the most money they can. But at some point, Zeke's going to want to play football and want his money, and Jerry's going to get a hold of him. And then they'll figure it out.
You're right, man. And the Cowboys haven't played dirty yet. I thought that Zeke's camp played dirty when Marshall Faulk went on and called Dak a bum. Like Marshall Faulk, the NFL analyst, well, he hasn't been an NFL analyst in a couple of years because of allegedly, you know, sexual harassing some NFL network employees. But I thought for him to go on the day before he's going to Cabo to work out with Zeke, calling Dak a, quote, bum quarterback, I thought that was playing dirty from Rocky Arsenault. That's what I thought.
It's got to be weird, though, right? That's got to play weird because if that's your friend, like if KT were out there.
What if they're not friends? What if they're not that good of friends?
Well, yeah, Dak and
probably,
Zeke?
They probably wouldn't have a press release announcing that they've not hung out as much.
Yeah, I don't know what he's supposed to do in that situation. I you know, does he cancel? Hey, I'm sorry, I can't let you come out here. You just trashed one of my best friends and my quarterback.
Don't say the word bum.
Yeah, but
bum is a horrible thing to say.
Yeah.
Don't say
Marshall
that.
Marshall Faulk is working for Zeke right now. You think he went on air and Zeke didn't know what he was going to do?
Yeah, I think Marshall Faulk is making the transition from a media personality where strong opinions are encouraged to wanting to become an agent.
Right.
Sort of Me Too guy.
As an agent, there is a new list of protocols that you have to adopt that includes not having hot opinions about players.
Right. There's no way in hell Zeke signed off on him saying that Dak was a bum or endorsed him saying Dak was a bum.
Well, you endorse it when you let him come hang out with you and train with you the next day, don't you?
Okay, so that's my question. Do we know for sure that Marshall Faulk is out there working out with him?
He was Friday.
That did happen.
That happened Friday.
Okay, I never saw any.
That happened Friday.
Okay,
absolutely happened. And I guess I got a hot take here. Maybe don't pull out your genitals at the NFL Network studios, Marshall.
Okay, that's. I don't think that's a hot take.
Do or don't.
Maybe don't do that.
No.
How hot a take is that?
That's not a hot take.
877-881-1053.
Go look up the details on that.
You
see how you feel about Marshall Faulk.
That's a very
fair. That was playing dirty, man, and the Cowboys have not played dirty in this negotiation.
But I'm always attracted to when guys put their nuts on the line.
Oh, so we have conflicting stories from KT here.
Which one is it, Turner?
Hmm? Clearly, that was not live. That was from my home studio.
Little KT cognitive dissonance there as we try to figure out what he's saying.
Cool moment right now, guys, as we're right in front of us, Cowboys players, dignitaries,
Randy
alumni.
Gregory's flicking you off?
Stephen Jones is dapping up Tony Dorsett. Pretty cool moment right now, right
that's
in front of us.
That's excellent.
Yeah. What do you guys have coming up on the show?
That's where last year, as they were walking by, for some reason, Randy Gregory singled me out and looked right into my eyes and then gave me the double barrels.
I think we all know why. I don't think that was random.
Yeah, it was a double flip-off. Of course, we're going to be talking about Jerry Jones this morning with Sean and RJ, and so many takeaways. I mean, the CBA, the preseason, the salary cap, so many great things from Jerry Jones, not only this morning with Sean and RJ, but we'll continue to go over the things that he and Steven are apparently saying to the media in real time. Can you look over and see what's being tweeted as Cowboys Twitter is just on fire with some of their clarifications, we'll call it, of what Jerry had to say there to...
yeah.
To the sponsors.
Y'all are going to have a fantastic show over the next 5 hours. I think I know what old Jeffrey's going to say here, so I'm really meaning this more for... What?
How would you ever know that?
Well, no, okay.
He doesn't even know.
Wait till you hear the question. Gil Brandt earlier said that the Cowboys are a Super Bowl team with or without Zeke. Go around the horn here. Do you guys agree with that take?
A Super Bowl team?
With or without Zeke.
It could happen, yeah. Teams lose some of their best players and make runs all the time, and the Cowboys have a surplus of good players. So, yeah, I could still see it happening.
No. Yes. Yeah.
I say no.
I knew Jeffrey would say yes. That's why I excluded you, Jeffrey.
What a jerk! Well, listen, if their defense is enough, if your defense is better than the team you play in the postseason's defense, enough to cover up for how much better their quarterback is than yours, then you got a chance to beat that team.
I think the moment that you don't have Zeke, your margin for error decreases significantly, but I'm going to say that they are still in the mix for a Super Bowl without him.
I played the game today of how many games, look at the schedule, how many games is my quarterback better than the other teams, and I threw in a hedge on Carson Wentz and things like that, and I got us coming in that 10 to 11 win area.
Oof.
Already.
Okay. I throw a question back at you. If the Saints lose Alvin Kamara in week one to an ACL, are they still a Super Bowl contender?
Yes.
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 Probably.
They've just been rotating out skill players for the last decade. But
they've got also one of the top three quarterbacks in the league. And so I think if you have to, that guy can just put you on his shoulders. I think what we're all excited about finding out is, can Dak do that? Because if Dak can do that, you feel a lot better about $35 million a year.
I will say this. I think the NFC's so tight. I think if Alvin Kamara blows out his knee, they're done as Super Bowl contenders in the NFC.
Do you think the Rams are done as a contender?
They proved last year they could do it without him for a short amount of time.
Dude, they did it without Kupp, and then Gurley got hurt, and they still did their thing.
But their numbers did go down significantly when Kupp got hurt.
They went down, but then they went to the Super Bowl.
And they drafted the guy that started over Tony Pollard.
Dude, what about the Eagles? They can lose anybody, and they're still a contender.
I'm pretty sure Josh McCown's going to finally get a Super Bowl ring this year.
It just decreases your probabilities. I mean, if they go into the divisional game and win the turnover margin by two and then, you know, come out in the next game and their defense has an all-world performance, you know, things can happen. It's not a black or white. It's gray area and how dark that gray is. You know, we're just looking at probabilities here.
You know, it'd be great for Jerry to go get on a plane and go to Cabo. Go get on a plane, take that jet to Cabo, and go meet Zeke.
DDT maybe... Marshall Faulk, get past Rocky at the door with a slim move.
I like him going to Cabo, but just hanging out, never interacting with Zeke while he's there. I think that would be the boldest
move. I'm on the beach.
Boat.
Okay. Yeah, no doubt. He'd take his boat there. Guys, what's coming up in the very first segment?
Okay, well, in the very first segment every day, we talk about the biggest story of the day. And, of course, that was Jerry on with Ben and Skin. And I'll ask Mike and Jeff about their takeaways for that. We will also preview what's coming up on the rest of the show. And then we're going to start in on the build-up to Flagtober 2019.
Woo!
The one-of-a-kind Tolo G-Bag Nation flag is going to be handed out across North Texas. And there's already a web element up as we're asking people to get on and vote. Which cities would you most like the Tour Day DFW to swoop through? And that's 105.3thefan.com/Flagtober.
Awesome. Have a great show, guys. We'll be listening.